Hi, this is Hattie Hart with the Anonymous S Project. Today we have three stories for you. They all encompass very diverse views. Our first story for today is by a parent of a donor-conceived child. It's entitled, "I Often Think of Him." There is a man in our life that we both think about a lot. Your donor. I know you think of him often, but I have never told you that I do too. I will tell you when you are older. Men were always my best friends, but never my romantic partners. In the country we live in, same-sex couples can marry and are allowed to have donor insemination and donor IVF within the public healthcare system. The donors are not anonymous. That is, they are not anonymous to their offspring. As your mother, I can't go to the clinic and have them tell me the identity of your donor, but you can at the age of 18, and the donor has agreed to be contacted by you if you want to. In case he dies before that, he has written you a letter about himself with photos from his childhood and adulthood. I was married to another woman when you were conceived by insemination, and when you were born. She left us when you were 4, never to be heard from again. I am convinced she was able to do that because there was no biological bond between her and you. I was devastated when I realized she let you down, and I still am. Your donor. I've been thinking about him since the day you were conceived at the clinic. I have a child together with a man I never met. I would look at men in the subway thinking, is it you? Or you? Or you? I still think about him almost every day, like I have the past 9 years. What is he doing now? Is he working in an office or at a construction site right now? Or is he sleeping after a night shift as a paramedic? Is he on vacation with his wife and children? Who is he? Is he prepared to meet you one day? Is he even prepared to meet me? I want to meet him. I know you do, and I think you will one day. I hope I can. He gave me the greatest gift anyone has ever given me. You. I know I will cry if I ever get the chance to meet him. You often ask about him, and I know you are sometimes sad you don't have a father. It was always okay for me that you expressed those feelings. I know you were happy with me and our very small family of 2, but of course you miss having a father like the other kids in school. You want to know your background, your identity. And I want to know the other half of you. You look very much like me, but maybe that's because I don't know what to look for in your face, and neither do you. There are also personality traits that I think both you and I are curious about. I wonder if I did the right thing. Don't get me wrong, I never regretted having you, giving birth to you, giving you life. But my thoughts were so different 10 years ago before having the experience of being a parent. And they all told me it was so easy, the people at the clinic. Journalists writing about donor children, scholars, activists. It was more or less totally trouble-free and uncomplicated, according to them. And I believed them because I wanted to believe them, because I so desperately wanted to be a mom. It turned out it wasn't as uncomplicated as they told me. You did miss having a father. You want to know where you come from. You are sad at times. But no one wanted to talk to me about the difficult parts. It didn't fit their worldview. No advice for me there. So I try anyway, and I do the best I can to comfort you and to be the best mom I can be. But he is our missing piece. For you as a father, for me, not as a partner, since I never knew him or met him, and since I don't fall in love with men, no matter how wonderful I think they are as persons. I don't even have a word for it. The father of my child. Yes, father. Even though I was told at the clinic to never, ever think of or talk about him as a father. Always use the word donor, they told me. Easier said than done. Especially when you were talking to a 9-year-old who wants to know and belong. You have so many men in your life. Your uncles, your grandfather, all my wonderful male friends, your godfather. But it is not the same as having a father. I know. They go home to their wives and kids. They are not always there for you since they have families of their own to take care of. I hope we will meet him one day. At least you. He is our missing piece. I often think of him. Our second story for the day comes from a prospective parent. It is entitled, "I Did the Right Thing. Why Do I Feel So Horrible?" I have always wanted a child, but the lack of a partner and my general idealism steered me away from, 1, settling for someone because time was running out, 2, going it alone. Many of my girlfriends opted for this route in our 30s. I became very depressed and started crying in my doctor's office 2 years ago. She was very compassionate and told me that I could still try for a child with donors. Even though I knew someone who had done this, I was very uncomfortable with the process, for reasons many of you DCs here have expressed. But I couldn't believe my good luck with having such an understanding doctor, and I pushed my doubts in the back of my mind. I chalked it to the universe telling me this was the right thing. My depression simply melted away. I was a new person. I tried the first time, but my cycle was canceled. I did a frozen transfer later, which was unsuccessful. My loss and depression came back. I shook myself up after 3 months and decided to try again. I had to go through all the tests all over again, and the clinic required tons. I was ambivalent, though I went through the tests. I think I was afraid to fail again. As time went by, though, my initial thinking about the whole process returned. I found it difficult to shake the idea that I might get children who would grow up without knowing their biological mother and father. I was so conflicted because I really wanted the child, and felt my life would improve tremendously, be worth living, with a child. In the end, though, my conscience won. I couldn't do it. I felt like if I was feeling so bad about the process, it had to be the wrong decision. I stopped the process just as it was about to be finalized. No eggs retrieved. But now I'm so depressed and desperate and feel like I made the wrong decision. I just hope I'll feel better and continue to live with this new reality. For DCs, sorry for your feelings of loss. I'm sure your parents didn't make this decision lightly. I know that doesn't ease your pain, but try to be compassionate. You've brought happiness to many people who won't have to live like me and feel the way I feel. It's really funny how doing the right thing does not always lead to making someone feel right. Peace to all of us in our different situations. Our last story for the day was written by a donor, and it's entitled Motivation. Decades ago, the first wave of Chinese migrants arriving in this country suffered prejudice. It was common to hear locals accuse the Chinese restaurants of serving meat from neighborhood cats. Such accusations require two things. First, they require an unfounded distrust of Chinese. Secondly, they require stupidity. A moment's thought would show how unlikely it was for a restaurant owner with a sack of cats on his back to go clambering over the neighbor's backyard fences in the middle of the night. How much easier would it be to just pop into the local butcher and purchase his meat like the rest of us do? On various forums, I frequently read sperm donors are motivated by money. When I donate blood, I am given a cup of tea and a biscuit or two. I am thanked for the generosity of my donation. Nobody accuses me of mercenary actions or of selling my blood to meet a craving for tea. Yet, as a sperm donor, I am not credited with any generosity. Instead, like our Chinese restaurateurs, I am subject to an irrational distrust. "You sold your child for money?" I hear it said. So let's look at the logic behind such accusations. I donated at the age of 43, which, according to the Victorian Assisted Reproductive Treatment Authority, is exactly the average. At this age, most men are at their peak earning capacity and are on six-figure salaries. Upon signing up, we undergo blood tests and have a six-month wait to ensure we are free of STDs. For each donation, we are asked to abstain from sex for 2 weeks. We have a few hours away from work, spend $20 on a taxi traveling across town, make our donation, and spend a further $20 on a return taxi trip. For all this, we are paid $25. As an illogical way of earning easy money, it's right up there with snatching cats. I understand many donor children are hurt because of the regime of anonymity, but don't start your search for your progenitor with the assumption that he sold you out. Such attitudes will not lead to a happy reunion. Those are all of our stories for today. I just want to thank you for writing in and for being brave enough to share your journeys with us. I also want to say a quick congratulations to Victoria, Australia, on the monumental legislation that was passed there. I will see you guys a few Mondays from now. This is Hattie Hart with the Anonymous S Project.